translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Jai. Persons who had formerly criticized Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, calling him a drunkard, also ate the fruit and began to dance, saying, "Very good, very good." Purport. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu started the Sankirtan movement, even he was unnecessarily criticized by Mayavadis, atheists and fools. Naturally, we are also criticized by such men. They will always remain and will always criticize anything that is actually good for human society. But the preachers of the Sankirtan movement should not be deterred by such criticism. Our method should be to convert such fools gradually by asking them to come and take prasad and chant and dance with us. This should be our policy. Anyone who comes to join us, of course, must be sincere and serious regarding spiritual advancement in life. Then such a person, simply by joining us, chanting with us, dancing with us, and taking prasad with us, will gradually also come to say that this movement is very good. But one who joins with an ulterior purpose to such material, to get material benefit or personal gratification, will never be able to grasp the philosophy of this movement. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this is a beautiful verse in the 9th chapter. Before I begin, I would like to say that I feel completely unqualified to be here and speak in front of this august assembly. So kindly bear with me and permit me to speak. So in this chapter, 9th chapter, this is a discussion of what Mahaprabhu Chaitanya achieved, his achievement. And this the description which is given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, it starts with the Lord wondering. The Lord is wondering, "I have now appeared in Navadvip and my name is Vishvambhara. How can I make my name fulfilled?" So we know what is the meaning of Vishvambhara. One who maintains the Vishva. But the Lord takes another meaning. So we find this verse at the beginning of this chapter, where Mahaprabhu is saying, "Prabhu kohe ami Vishvambhara nama dhori." Amar naam ki, what is my name? Vishvambhara, Mahaprabhu is saying. My name is Vishvambhara. "Prabhu kohe ami Vishvambhara nama dhori. Nama sarthak hoy." How do I make this name fulfill to its true meaning? "Jadi preme Vishvambhari." How do I make it sarthak? How do I make it fulfilled? If I can fill the Vishva. Bhari. Bhari means to fill also. So Bhara also means to maintain, yes. But another meaning of Bhara means to fill. And Vishva means the world. So Mahaprabhu is thinking, "Jadi, if ami preme Vishva Bhari, if I fill this universe with love of Godhead, then my name of Vishvambhara means he who filled the universe will be sarthaka, will be fulfilled." So with this mood, the Lord, he brings the seed of devotional service from the spiritual world to the material world. And because he brings the seed, he acts like a gardener. So there is a verse in the beginning where it is summarized, the whole chapter is summarized in one verse of Krishna Kaviraj Goswami. He says, Malakaraha Swayam Krishna Prema Marataru Swayam Data Bhokta Tat Phalanam Yastam Chaitanya Mashraye. Malakaraha Swayam Krishna. Malakara means gardener. What does a gardener do? He gets the right seeds and he sows the seeds in the right kind of soil and he waters and then the sun does its work. So similarly, Mahaprabhu acted as a gardener. He brought the seed of devotional service from the spiritual world to the material world. So the first sentence says, Malakaraha Swayam Krishna. Krishna himself is Malakara. And Premamara Taruswayam. Not only is he Malakar, but he is also the tree. So the seed has been sown. How did he sow the seed? Seed was sown where? Mahaprabhu, he brought the seed of love of Godhead. Where did he sow that seed? I think Sachi Kishore Prabhu yesterday mentioned in his class a nice synopsis of the chapter. So he sowed the seed in the heart of Madhavendra Puri. Immediately as the seed was sown in the heart of Madhavendra Puri, this is the first time in the Madhva Sampradaya that Madhavendra Puri felt immense humility and love. And he wrote a poem. Ai Deena Dayadranatha, O merciful Lord who is merciful to the most fallen, kindly shower your mercy. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada, he comments that this verse is the beginning of the bhakti movement. This verse was, it came out of the mouth of Madhavendra Puri after Lord Chaitanya brought that seed of love of Godhead from the spiritual world. And from Madhavendra Puri, that seed passed on to Ishwara Puri. And from Ishwara Puri, the seed passed on to Lord Chaitanya. And the seed grew. And hence, Lord Chaitanya himself is also the tree. And from that tree grew many branches. And Nityananda and Advaita, they are the two main branches. And then there are several sub-branches. Srila Prabhupada in another place comments that the ISKCON movement is also one of the branch of the tree of Lord Chaitanya. So, Prema Amarat Taru Swayam. Taru means the tree. Prema Amarat, the love of Godhead which is eternal. The tree of that love is Lord Chaitanya himself. So he is the Malakar, he is the gardener. He is also the tree because he received the seed. The seed that he himself brought, he received through the mercy of Ishwara Puri. And he became a fruit-bearing tree. And what happened next? Data bhokta tat phalanam. And the fruits, the phala that appeared on the tree, he became the data. He freely distributed those fruits to the entire world. And he himself also relished the fruit. What was the fruit of the tree? Prema. Krishna Prema. So that fruit was relished by him. And that fruit was distributed by him indiscriminately. He didn't discriminate. He gave that fruit to everyone. With this introduction to this chapter, our Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Yastam Chaitanya Mashraye, I take shelter of that Lord Chaitanya. Who is the Malakar? Who is the Taru? Who is the tree himself? Who is also the Bhokta? Who is also the Data? Who is the giver of the fruit, distributor of the fruit of love of Godhead, and also the experiencer of fruit. So we understand that Mahaprabhu came to freely distribute this fruit of devotional service. However, there is something beautiful mentioned in this verse. It says, Jeje Purve Ninda Koilo. All those who previously, Purve, Ninda Koilo. Ninda means criticized. Whoever criticized Mahaprabhu previously, even they, Boli Matoyal. Matoyal means he is a drunkard. He is simply, you know, Mahaprabhu is sannyasi only externally. He has no conception of the Vedas. He acts like a drunkard, simply dancing and chanting on the streets. That's all. So there were nindakas, those who criticize. And those who criticize Mahaprabhu transformed their hearts. And Srila Prabhupada gives a formula in his purport of how one may transform the heart. And what, if time permits, what I would like to do is also analyze how the transformation of heart takes place. I would also like to analyze what different groups existed who criticized Mahaprabhu and how they, you know, were transformed by Mahaprabhu. Seho phalakhaya. When these groups, when they ate the phala, when they ate this fruit of love of Godhead, what did they say? Bole bhalo bhalo. If you go to Bengal, there is a few Bengali devotees here. Bhalo means good, good, good. They were extremely happy by eating this fruit of Mahaprabhu's. And that fruit is Krishna Prema. So, it's interesting that although Mahaprabhu came to distribute the fruit indiscriminately, Jeje Purve Ninda Koilo. So, there were elements, there were people who were criticizing. And Srila Prabhupada writes very sweet, it's very sweet the way he writes it. He says, naturally we are also criticized by such men. Mahaprabhu was criticized, so naturally we are also criticized. So Prabhupada was also criticized, primarily by two categories of people. By those who are Mayavadis and those who are materialist. So when we chant his pranam mantra, we say, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Nirvishesha. Vishesha means special. Nirvishesha means nothing special. So no distinction between you and God. Nothing special. You are the same. So that is Mayavad philosophy. So Nirvishesha Shunyavad. Shunyavad means generally Buddhist philosophy. That everything ends into nothing. The goal is Nirvana. Means ends into emptiness. Nirvana means emptiness. But Nirvishesha and Shunyavad can also have another meaning. Shunyavad can mean one who thinks the goal of life is nothing. Just enjoy. So the hippies are also Shunyavadi. Because they all simply want to enjoy. No other goal. Shunya. Shunyavad. So Prabhupada he transformed them. But there are six categories of individuals that Mahaprabhu transformed. And those six categories are mentioned in the seventh chapter of the Adi Leela by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Those seven, and we can find examples probably of each one of them. The seven categories are Mayavadi, number one. Those who criticize Mahaprabhu, Mayavadi. Karmanishtha. So we know what Mayavadis are. Karmanishtha. Karmanishtha means they believe that doing karma is of prime most importance. Nothing else. So the Smartha Brahmanas. They believe as long as one performs karma. So this is actually Karma Mimamsa philosophy of Jaimini Rishi. Where it's also called as Purva Mimamsa. That philosophy says that as long as you do karma, even God is bound to give you fruits. So he is dependent on karma. Even God is dependent. राधा गोकुलान भगवान की जय, राम सीता लक्ष्मण हनुमान की जय, निताय गौरांग की जय, शिला की जय. सो दे थिंक दैट कृष्णा और गॉड इज बाउंड टू गिव यू रिजल्ट्स एज लॉन्ग एज यू परफॉर्म कर्म. सो दे आर कर्म निष्ठ, देर निष्ठा, देर फेथ इज ओनली इन कर्म. द थर्ड कैटेगरी हु क्रिटिसाइज महाप्रभु वर कुतार्किक गण. कुतार्किक मीन्स तर्क, मीन्स लॉजिक, लॉजिशियन. कुतार्किक मीन्स देयर लॉजिक इज, दे ट्विस्ट द लॉजिक टू प्रूव देयर पॉइंट. द फोर्थ कैटेगरी वर निंदकर्स. निंदकर्स मीन्स ब्लास्फेमर्स. दे ब्लास्फेम्ड महाप्रभु एंड हिज मिशन. द फिफ्थ कैटेगरी वॉज पाषंडी. पाषंडी मीन्स अ पर्सन हु इज नॉट अ डिवोटी एसेंशियली. एंड द लास्ट कैटेगरी वॉज अधम पाडुय. अधम मीन्स द लोएस्ट, पाडुय मीन्स वन हु इज स्टडिंग, द लोएस्ट कैटेगरी ऑफ स्टूडेंट. दे थिंक दे नो सो मच, दे स्टूडेंट्स, दे थिंक दे नो सो मच. So I would like to give some little pastimes and examples of each one of these and how they were transformed by Mahaprabhu. So if we think of Mayavadis, we see how Mahaprabhu, after taking sannyas at the age of 24, went on a tour of India in which he visited Varanasi. Varanasi is also called Kashi. And Kashi is a very interesting place because you find three sections in Kashi. The Mayavadis, the Devi worshippers, and also you find the Vaishnavas. So Varanasi is divided into three categories distinct. But it is a stronghold of Mayavadis. And Mahaprabhu, when he visited Kashi, he was staying near Bindu Madhav at the house of Tapana Mishra, and Chandrasekhar was also there associating with Mahaprabhu. The Mayavadis, they were criticizing Mahaprabhu, saying, look at him, he is one of us, he is Narayan himself. Actually they were right, but they said it in a different way, in a different sense, that everyone is Narayan. So he said, he is Narayan himself, but he doesn't realize that he is Narayan. Instead, he is taken to the sentimental approach and chanting and dancing on the streets. To the ears of a devotee, when another devotee is criticized or the Lord is criticized, it's unbearable. So both Chandrasekhar and Tapan Mishra went to Mahaprabhu and said, Mahaprabhu, please do something. And in the meanwhile, Mahaprabhu gets an invitation to attend one of the Sangha programs, let's put it this way, of the Mayavadis, led by Prakash Anand Saraswati. The name is also very telling. Prakash Anand. Prakash means light, the effulgence. Anand means bliss. He simply takes bliss in the effulgence, in the impersonal effulgence. Prakash Anand Saraswati, very, you know, strong sannyasi. So he invites Mahaprabhu. How does Mahaprabhu transform them? Mahaprabhu takes a lower position. He sits in the place where devotees come in. So if you visit any of the ancient temples in India, there is a place outside the temple, even Jagannath Puri or Ranganath Kshetra, anywhere you go, there is a place where you wash your feet and wash your hands. Before you approach the Lord, you wash your feet, wash your hands, and then approach the Lord. So Mahaprabhu took his place there where everyone was washing their hands and feet. And he sat there. And Prakashanand saw him, this effulgent personality. Prakashanand approached and said, who are you? I've heard of you. Are you Chaitanya? Mahaprabhu said yes, and then he invited Mahaprabhu to come inside. that gave him enough sukruti, his approach to the Lord. And although he was quote unquote feeling compassion, but that little bit what he did gave him enough sukruti to then transform his heart. And then Mahaprabhu, he transformed the heart of Prakashanand. And the pastime goes how Prakashanand and Mahaprabhu had a conversation. And at the end of that conversation, Prakashanand got completely transformed. So when we are met with criticism, at one place Prabhupada writes in Bhagavatam that ours is not a way of criticism and counter-criticism. Ours is the way of showing by example. We show by example. We don't criticize. And Mahaprabhu did not criticize Prakashanand or his followers straight away. Because what criticism gains is antagonism. If one is critical about someone, the other person will become antagonist. They will not listen to you. So Mahaprabhu transformed through his mercy, through his association, the Mayavadis of Kashi. The other category, which is Karmanishtha. Karmanishtha, so we know the Smartha Brahmanas. We hear in the Adi Leela, the Smartha Brahmanas in Navadvip, they were thinking, oh, what's going on in Srivas's house? Every night after midnight, you have these group of individuals who are singing and chanting loudly. And behind closed doors. So if you look at it in a contextual sense, in the India, which was 500 years ago or 1,000 years ago, generally people would not shut their doors. Even at the, during the night, if they would go out to the market, they will not shut their door. Because there is no fear, nobody comes and, you know, there is trust and people live in a peaceful manner. But something is going on behind closed doors at Srivasangan all night, every night. What is that? And so they were surmising. What was the surmising? Probably some tantric worship is going on. Probably they're doing something. And they were critical of Mahaprabhu. They were saying, he's a madman, maybe he's drinking. Maybe they are having some drinking orgies inside. It is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They were wondering what is going on. And they were critical. And then they were also critical because Mahaprabhu embraced Haridas Thakur, who was a mlecha. He was a low-class man. How can you make him Namacharya? And they were criticizing him because they thought Nam is another form of karma. Ultimately, when you realize the goal of Nama, you will come to Mukti. So Smarthas, they were criticized. How did Mahaprabhu counter them? He did not directly counter them. But he thought, if I take sannyas, then because of my social status, they will give me respect. Yes, Prabhu. You wanted to ask something? No. Okay. They will give respect. And hence, he took sannyas. Was one of the reasons. One of the external reasons. There is internal reason as well. The third category was Kutarkika Gana. Kutarkika Gana means those who were thinking themselves to be great logicians, but in fact they were completely misled by their own minds. The example is Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was Tarkavachaspati. Tarkavachaspati means one who is expert logician, the best of the logicians. And when Mahaprabhu Chaitanya, he from Atharanala bridge, when he saw the dhvaja, when he saw the flag of Lord Jagannath's temple, he could not resist. He ran like a madman. He entered the temple, And when he had the beautiful darshan of the Lord, he fainted. And Sarvabhauma was there. He saw Mahaprabhu. He thought, he needs my help. He looks so effulgent, so beautiful. He's certainly a sannyasi. He needs my help. Let me take him home. He took him home and he started to revive him. He started to give him various kinds of medicines, but Mahaprabhu would not revive. In the meanwhile, his associates who had been left behind because Mahaprabhu left them and ran to the temple, his associates happened to come to the house of Sarvabhauma. And they said, if you say the name of Krishna, if you chant Hari Hari, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will open his eyes. And they chanted Hari Hari, and Mahaprabhu opened his eyes. And then he engaged in a conversation with Sarvabhauma. Sarvabhauma told Mahaprabhu, you are a sannyasi. You should be engaged in studying the Vedanta. Let me explain the Vedanta Sutras to you. The Bhadrayana Sutras, Vedanta Sutra, are the ultimate word of the Vedas. Vedasya antaha iti Vedantaha. So, the end of the Vedas, the goal of the Vedas, conclusion of the Vedas is Vedanta Sutra. So, you must study that. I will teach you. So, Sarvabhauma teaches Vedanta Sutra and Mahaprabhu listens. See how he transforms the heart of Sarvabhauma. He listens patiently. And at the end, Sarvabhauma says, you have not asked me a single question. It can mean only two things. Either you understood what I said, or you didn't understand anything. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, well, factually, I did not understand anything. Because the Vedanta Sutra has Bhadrayana, Vyasadeva has written them, are very clear. Their original meaning is very clear. So he said the Sutrakar means the author of the sutras, his sutras are very clear, crystal clear. But your explanations are mystical. They are very unclear. Let me attempt. So Sarvabhauma took a humble position immediately. He said, okay, please explain. How do you understand them? And Mahaprabhu explained the Vedanta Sutra, at the end of which Sarvabhauma surrendered to him. So you see, in all these different ways, Mahaprabhu transformed the hearts. His approach was not that of assault, counter-criticism. And the next category is Pashandi. Pashandi means non-devotees. Many examples come to mind. Jaga and Madhai, they were non-devotees. They were, by the mercy of Lord Nityananda, they were delivered ultimately by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya became black. That is the only time. Well, actually, there is another time where Mahaprabhu becomes dark. You see that beautiful Shadbhuja form which he displayed to Sarvabhauma. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he attained so much mercy that Mahaprabhu showed his six arm form, Shadbhuja form. And that Shadbhuja form is expanded into our deities also here. So we have Krishna, Gauranitai, and Ram, Lakshman, Sita, Hanuman. So we have that expansion. So Shadbhuja expansion here on the altar. So Mahaprabhu gave that mercy to Sarvabhauma. But the Pashandi like Jaga and Madhai, they were originally born as Brahmanas, Jagadananda, Madhavananda, who strayed away and ultimately became Jaga and Madhai, doing all kinds of sins. Mahaprabhu, when he accepted all their sins, he became black. And he looked like his original beautiful Shyamasundara form. But he delivered them, Pashandis. The next category that Mahaprabhu delivers was Adhama Paduyas. Adhama Paduyas means students. Students actually, believe me or not, they think very highly of themselves. They think they can analyze, they can know, especially those who go to university. I mean, children, young children, maybe not. But those, once you go to university, oh, now I understand things, I can analyze things. So Mahaprabhu in the Adi Leela, when he was running his own toll, toll means a school. He was running his own Sanskrit school. He used to teach Sanskrit grammar. He was Nimai Pandit, teaching Vyakranam. So in his Vyakrana school, there were several students, Brahmin students, who would come. One day, one student had a doubt, some technical grammatical doubt. He went to the house of Mahaprabhu. And he saw Mahaprabhu was sitting there and feeling separation from the gopis of Vrindavan. Mahaprabhu was chanting, Gopi, Gopi, Gopi. And this Brahmana boy, he shook him up and he said, what are you chanting? Gopi, Gopi, where is this going to lead you? Don't you understand? This is not a bona fide mantra. You should be chanting Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And Mahaprabhu became so irritated, he took a stick and he ran behind him to hit him. And the Brahmana boy said, he's completely gone now, he's mad. So he went and this Brahmana boy went to other schools where hundreds of other Brahmana children were learning. And to all those schools, he went and he criticized Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu thought, unless I take sannyas, they will never respect me. Mahaprabhu also, another example comes to mind, Mukunda Datta. Mukunda Datta was a classmate of Mahaprabhu. And he also became a devotee of Mahaprabhu. However, Mukunda Datta had he was one of those analytical types. You know, when you go to university and you can be very analytical unnecessarily. And he was of that analytical type and he would go to every single function that was going on in the locality and he would listen to every single speaker. Whether he be a Vaishnava, whether he be a Mayavadi, whether he would listen to everyone indiscriminately. There would be no discrimination. Mahaprabhu obviously did not like that. So Mahaprabhu condemned him. He said, you are khadajatiya beta. Khadajatiya beta means one who is like a dog who eats food from all different places. And hence you don't deserve to be in my company. So in Mahaprakash Leela, Mahaprabhu didn't allow him to enter. He shut the door. And then Mukunda was crying and sobbing outside. And when the devotees went and told Mahaprabhu, Mukunda is actually, you know, crying, Mahaprabhu said, let him in later on. And when he came in, actually there is another thing there. Mahaprabhu was asked, why you don't want to see Mukunda? So Mahaprabhu explained why he doesn't want to see Mukunda. And then Mahaprabhu said, I will see him after 1 crore lifetimes. And when devotees went out and told that to Mukunda, and Mukunda came inside, he was jumping. He said, I am so blessed that the Lord has given his word that he will see me. Even after 1 crore lifetimes, but he will see me. That itself is my blessing. So, Mukunda, Adhama Paduyas. And the last category is Nindakas. The Nindakas are those who criticize the Lord. And who criticize the Lord? Many people criticize the Lord. But specially, you have... So let's think. You would criticize the Lord. You could be a devotee who criticizes the Lord. Yes, there can be devotees who criticize the Lord. Or you could be a non-devotee who criticizes the Lord. So we will take both examples. So first, a non-devotee who criticized the Lord. So in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's heart was transformed, he saw the Shadbhuja form. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife, they invited Mahaprabhu for prasad. And when Mahaprabhu went there for prasad, Sarvabhauma and his wife kept feeding him. Please have more. Please have more. Please have more. And it's also very Indian culture, you know, that you make the guest happy to the degree that sometimes the guests feel, oh, I'm overwhelmed, too much. So they were feeding a lot. And Mahaprabhu was very mercifully accepting. Sarvabhauma had a daughter called Shathi. Shathi's husband, his name was Amogha. And Amogha was also invited. So you had the son-in-law and the daughter also invited when Mahaprabhu was being fed. And Amogha was observing critically. He was looking at Mahaprabhu and thinking, look at this man. He claims to be a sannyasi. He's eating so much. He has no limit on how much he eats. He criticized Mahaprabhu. He said, it is unclean for you to eat so much. As soon as Sarvabhauma heard those words, and his wife became so disturbed, his wife said, I curse you. Well, she could not curse out of the respect. She could not curse the son-in-law. So she said, I curse you, my daughter, that may you become without husband. So she cursed her daughter. You become husbandless, so you let Amogha die. So she became so disturbed. And immediately after that, Amogha, he suffered from Visuchika. Visuchika is what is that? Cholera. He suffered from cholera. And he was about to die. And at that time, Mahaprabhu embraced him. Out of love of Sarvabhauma. So just see, the Lord is so paradheen. His devotees can completely command the Lord. And even if devotees don't command the Lord himself feels obliged. Like with Amrish Maharaj and Durvasa, he feels very obliged to protect the devotees. So with Sarvabhauma and Amogha, because of his relationship with Sarvabhauma, he gave his mercy to Amogha. So you have Amogha, who is a non-devotee, criticizing the Lord, but who gets liberated because he had a transformation of heart. After he had cholera, he understood. Now I only have limited time, so I'm just rushing through these pastimes, but he understood the real purpose of the advent of Mahaprabhu. And when he had a transformation of heart, he then could gain the mercy. But then we also have example. Do we have example of Lord being criticized by a devotee? By his own devotee? Damodar Pandit, yes. So Damodar Pandit was a close associate of Mahaprabhu. And when Mahaprabhu was in Gambhira, in Puri, in Antyalila, there was a little child, a little Brahmana boy, who would come to Mahaprabhu and visit him regularly. And when he would visit Mahaprabhu regularly, Mahaprabhu would give him some prasad, he would talk to him, he would also ask him, ki khabar, what is the news, to a small boy. And Damodar was observing this. Damodar was his personal servant, Mahaprabhu's servant. So he told, he went inside the quarters of Mahaprabhu and he told Mahaprabhu once. He said, if you continue to see this boy, I fear that all of Puri will know what kind of sannyasi you are. You are attached to a little boy. You are attached to a child. Sannyasi means you should be unattached. So Mahaprabhu understood that actually Damodar Pandit is a devotee, but he's criticized me. And that is going to... See, when criticism happens, it steals away our bhakti. It steals away our bhakti. So, to avoid that situation to continue, Mahaprabhu, as a remedy, he said, you go to Navadvip and serve Sachi Mata. And tell her that sometimes when she is cooking her bhoga and offering, sometimes I come and I eat it. But you go and serve her. So you go. So he sent him away to Navadvip. So even devotees sometimes criticize. Or example of Chitraketu from Bhagavatam, where Chitraketu criticized Lord Shiva and Parvati cursed him to become Vritrasura. So we see the devotees may criticize the Lord, and as a result, or even Pundarika Vidyanidhi, when he entered the, this in Chaitanya Bhagavat, when he entered the temple, he saw Lord Jagannath being worshipped, and he said, this isn't right. You know, he criticized the Pandas. And then when he woke up in the morning the following day, his cheeks were red with slap marks. He was slapped by the Lord. But of course, Pundarika Vidyanidhi is another level. Pundarika Vidyanidhi in his original form is Vrishabhanu Maharaj. So, special devotee. But Ninda is the first offense in chanting the holy name. Vaishnava Ninda. If one does Ninda of a Vaishnava, one suffocates the creeper of bhakti in one's heart. And so one must guard against Ninda. However, it comes to my mind that actually Ninda, what do you think in the spiritual world? Is there Ninda or there is no Ninda? In the spiritual world, in Golok Dham, is there Ninda? There is Ninda of the Lord. Criticism of the Lord. It's rampant. You have many examples. We have Brahmara Geet in 10th canto, where Radharani says to Uddhava, but not directly to Uddhava, indirectly by criticizing the bumblebee who is bothering her. And she is criticizing both Uddhava and Krishna indirectly. You have the gopis of Vrindavan criticizing Brahma for creating, you know, only two eyes, not more. Now, Brahma is also a devotee. When the sons of Marichi, they criticized Brahma, they had to be born in the womb of, well, they had to become sons of Kalnemi and take several births as demons before being born in the womb of Devaki as six sons and die at the hand of Kamsa, right? That was also criticism of Brahma. But the gopis also criticized Brahma, but they are still exalted. Or even you have the, on Sakhyara's platform also, we have Madhu Mangala in Govinda Leelamrit, I think it is. Govinda Leelamrit, Jiva Goswami mentions, Madhu Mangala he's got a huge packed lunch with him. And Balram and his friends are around. And he knows that Balram is very powerful. So Madhu Mangala is hiding that packed lunch. And Balram asks him, what have you got? What are you hiding? You've got a big box. We are hungry. So he says, no, I don't want to open it right now. And he said, but where did you get it from? Oh, I got this from the sacrifice. Today is Sunday and they did a sacrifice of, Suryadev. And this is the remnants of the sacrificial offering. And this is nice laddus and, you know, stuff that is just for me. So Balram said, but you are always hungry. Why don't you open it? So he said, yeah, I'm always hungry, but at this moment I'm not. And in any case, I don't think very highly of you, by the way. And I don't think very highly of your friends either, let me tell you. So please, stop bothering me. And this is directly telling Balram. You know, so, but there is. So why is there Ninda? So just to settle that doubt, if in case there is a doubt, this ninda is not ninda at all. This ninda is one of the, and again it's a very deep subject matter, detailed. But in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami explains that of the seven alambanas, dependent moods that are existing for the bhava platform, the seventh is called jugupsa, which is also ninda. So it is a mood on a bhava platform, also ninda. And that is that mood which is reflected in these devotees, by the way, in the spiritual world. Okay, so there is some ninda. But coming back to where we are, we do not have any hope if there is ninda, criticism. What time do I stop now? What time do I stop? What's the time? Okay. So, maybe I'll take questions, but I have a few other things to say. Maybe 5 more minutes. So, one thing that Srila Prabhupada says here, which I would like to emphasize, he says, but one who joins with an ulterior purpose to get material benefit or personal gratification will never be able to grasp the philosophy of this movement. If we join with ulterior motive or purpose, we cannot grasp the philosophy of this movement. This is a very, very important point. It is a shame if we are in the movement but we hang on to ulterior motives or material motives. In Sri Sampradaya they say that most of the sadhus who are there, they are only there for vadai and dosai, which means they are only there for idli and vada and dosa. That's all they are there for. They wear sadhu dress but they don't do anything else, only eat and enjoy. They're escapist. So not only sadhus, even externally somebody may say, I am a devotee, what it takes, nothing to say, I am devotee. But do we have the patrata, do we have the adhikar, have we gained the adhikar to get the mercy of the Lord? That is the real question. And in the previous chapter, there is beautiful verses which I would like to end with, where Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami starts with glorifying the Lord. Please listen carefully. This is very, very important. He says, Jaya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Gaura Chandra. You don't need translation. Jaya Jaya Premananda Jaya Nityananda. Nityananda is full of love. Why? Because he can even give love to somebody like Jagha and Madhai. So, Jaya Jaya Premananda Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Advaita Acharya Kripamoya. He is Kripamoya Acharya because through his Kripa Mahaprabhu appeared. Jaya Jaya Gadadhara Pandit Mahashoya. Gadadhara is a Pandit. When Gadadhara Pandit was there in Puri, in Tota Gopinath, Mahaprabhu would daily visit him and they would discuss Bhagavatam. Can you imagine Radharani and Krishna? Or Radharani's duty and Krishna discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. It's beautiful. So, he was Pandit. Gadadhara Pandit Mahashaya. Jaya Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Gaura Chandra. Jaya Jaya Paramananda Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Jaya Advaita Acharya Kripa Moya. Jaya Jaya Gadadhara Pandit Mahashaya. Jaya Jaya Srivasadi Jato Bhakta Gana. Glories to Srivasadi Bhakta Gana. Pranata Hoiya Vanda Sabara Charana. I do Vandan at the lotus feet of all these devotees. Now, this is, listen carefully. Mukha Kovitva Kore. Mukha, one who cannot speak, dumb person, will sing poetry, beautiful poetry. Mukha kovitva kore jasabar smarane. Simply by remembering them with faith, with sincerity and seriousness. Very important. We may be serious, but we will not be sincere. We may be sincere, but we may not be serious. We need both. Prabhupada says in the purport, only one who is sincere and serious, one who has sincerity and seriousness will have the faith. And the faith will be that simply by surrendering to Mahaprabhu and his devotees, Mukha kovitva kore, yasabar smarane, pangu giri langhe. Pangu means one who is lame. Giri langhe, he can climb mountain. Andha dekhe tara gane. Now even we cannot see that stars clearly at night. But imagine a blind person can see the stars. So what is the claim here? The claim is that simply by remembering and having the mercy of the associates of Mahaprabhu, like Srila Prabhupada and his followers, we are given the benediction that even Mukha kovitva kore, yasabar smarane, pangu giri langhe, andha dekhe tara gane. Now, I don't accept it, one might think. Because I've read the Veda, certainly this is just allegorical, you know, it's just excessive poetry. How can a lame person climb mountain? How can a blind person see stars? Is it for real? I'm a big pandit, you know, I'm a learned man, I can't accept this. So, imagining that the Purva Pakshi will say this, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami is saying the next verse. He says, Eshabana mane ye, pandita sakala. If those pandita who don't accept this, Eshabana mane ye, pandita sakala, tasabara vidya patha bheka kola hala. You see, pandits in India, they are reading verses. If they are learning, say, grammar, then they are going, reading the sutras of Panini Ashtadhyayi. You know, Vriddhir Adai Chadengunaha Iko Guna Vriddhi Na Dhatu Lopadartha Dhatu Ke Kingiti Cha. You know, like that, he'll go on. He's a big grammarian. He's reading, memorizing Panini Ashtadhyayi. But this chanting, Kaviraj Goswami says, Eshabana Mane Jai Pandita Shakala. Tasabhara Vidya Patha, his part is like a bheka kolahala. Bheka means frogs. Kolahal means croaking. So his chanting is simply like croaking of frogs. He's useless, this pandit is useless. But then one might say, well, I'm part of the movement of Mahaprabhu. And I'm doing Krishna Bhakti. I don't have faith in all these poetry. This is too poetic. Mukako vidvakare itasabhara. I don't have, so one lacks sincerity or seriousness and one does not accept the mercy of Mahaprabhu. But I'm doing bhakti, I'm going on. Bhakti I'm doing. So thinking that a devotee might think this way, Krishnas Kaviraj Goswami writes the next verse. He says, Eishabana mane yei, kore Krishna bhakti. If one does not accept this, the mercy of Mahaprabhu is true. If one does not have faith and one does Krishna Bhakti, then what happens? Then that's all right. So he says, no. Eshabana mane jai kore Krishna Bhakti, Krishna Kripa nahi tara gati. He will get no Krishna Kripa, nahi tara gati. He will not get the ultimate goal. He will not attain the ultimate goal of life, which is Prema Bhakti. And that is what Srila Prabhupada ends in his purport very beautifully. But one who joins with an ulterior purpose to get material benefit or personal gratification will never be able to grasp the philosophy of this moment. So with this I will stop. There were many other things that we could have discussed. Thank you very much for your patient hearing. I'll take maybe two questions.